Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Cup Shock Entertainment Report. I am your host, producer Beth, aka Be True. Happy Memorial Day weekend, Sunday. Tomorrow is officially Memorial Day. And on yesterday's show, shared a lot of facts and history about Memorial Day and how it began. So again, sending out much love to everyone worldwide that are celebrating Memorial Day, which began in 1868 on the 5th. And sending much love out to those that are defending our country right now as we speak, and the world, and also those of you that are veterans, like our host today, author, self-publisher, Sean Alexander Hamilton, longtime Facebook friend of mine, and he happens to also be one of our top of the James Franco Project, which we created back in June 2017. Being a private group, it is not over 1,000 members, but we're not here to talk about James Franco. We're here to talk about Sean Alexander Hamilton and his amazing work. Apologies for the delay in the beginning of the show. He and I, obviously, we had an amazing run-through before the show and ran over a little, so must be honest with it and had to deal with the technical situations. And so it's time to have very in-depth and fun conversation with Sean Evan Hamilton. He has an amazing backstory. He's not only an author and a publisher, he's an actor, he's a playwright, he's an educator, and we already know that he must return again and again to discuss his work. Also, causes are important to him. He has authored, he has written much, but he is here today to talk about his newest book, Don't Chase Your Dreams, but Catch Them. And I often discuss two of his books that I just love, that I read last year, Defeating Financial Anger, and also Understanding and Mending Broken Paths. And so we would discuss those two books and his newest book. You can get all of his books on Amazon and also visit his website. He would share information with us. And on last Sunday, decided to start a book club, a reading club, here on Culture Shock Entertainment Report. So those are your reading assignments right now to read his books. Sean Alexander Hamilton, his books are not hard to find on Amazon. I have the links, too, that I will share with you for Understanding and Mending Broken Paths, Defeating Financial Anger, Don't Chase Your Dreams, but Catch Them. Those are the three books. And he's working on a few other books, also one with his older brother. But today we're talking about these books and also his journey into becoming not only an author, but a self-publisher also. So I really thank you for tuning in. Big shout out to my family and loved ones. And a big shout out to Terry. And I cannot focus on the personal things, because we have a guest today. So, and also a big shout out to everyone celebrating at the beaches, at the parks, at home, barbecuing, having all type of fun. Pray that you are practicing the CDC guidelines and the guidelines of your state and your city or town or your village. Practicing social distancing, and at the same time having a blast celebrating Memorial Day holiday. And it's time for summer, right? It's time for summer. Father's Day's next, and we have the 4th of July, and so it's time for the new normal to celebrate and fun. So I will not continue talking and going on and on, because we do have a guest, our first guest since back into the interactive shows of being able to call in and also to chat. You can chat in the chat room and you call in at 646-787-1578. Okay, call in at 646-787-1578 after he has shared his backstory and a little more information. We will be talking to listeners, those of you that are avid readers or new readers, or those of you that have interest in writing or want to know about why did he decide to become a self-publisher instead of signing up a publishing house. Okay. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Big shout out to the top fivers. I always shout out the top fivers, listeners, and throughout the world of the Shark Entertainment Reports right here on blogtalkradio.com. So big shout out to my native U.S. You all know I'm in the Deep South in Jackson City. Canada, which really replaced Kenya. China, U.K., which is usually right underneath U.S., and Morocco. And all listeners from small towns to big cities worldwide, thank you for your love and thank you for your continued listenership and support since March 21st, 2011. And wow, thank you to those that have sent me music to add to the playlist, and definitely send me the PSAs also for your causes. So thank you all. And it's time for us to start our talk with Mr. Sean Alexander Hamilton. So as soon as I light up my screen and turn his call on, we will begin our talk, our interview with Sean Alexander Hamilton. God bless America, and may God grant us the words to speak his thoughts as we talk during the interview. And yes, my screen disappeared, so I'm pulling it up. My peeve is dry air, just, you know, being silent. But then also need for ramble. Yay, here we are. Next, you will hear the voice of Sean Alexander Hamilton, and he will be returning in the very near future to discuss more about his books and other projects that he is working on. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Bethany.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Really great, since we've been talking some today also in preparation for the broadcast. First of all, I'd like to wish you a happy Memorial Day. Being a veteran, a Navy veteran, I'd like to wish you and your family a happy Memorial Day.
Oh, you too. Thank you. Thank you so much for wishing me a happy Memorial Day. And thank you for that lovely introduction that you gave me. Very kind of you. Very kind of you.
Thank you. It came straight from the heart. Also, as you know, it came straight from the heart. I had thought I would write out an introduction, but it just came out. Okay, so thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed that. So the listenership is worldwide, and we definitely would like to know, who is Sean Alexander Hamilton, and how did he become an author and a self-publisher?
Okay, where do I begin? Well, I will give you a little bit about my backstory. My backstory is when I was younger, probably in high school. I actually have an interesting story of how I decided to become an author. I mean, I didn't become an author until way years later, probably 16 years later until, you know, from this story. But so how I became an author was I had a best friend. I actually wrote a letter to some girl back in high school. So I wanted my best friend to critique my writing to see if it was good enough to get to this girl I was, you know, going to attempt to ask out through the written form. And he actually read this three-page letter that I wrote, and I was shocked that he read the three-page letter because most of the time he doesn't read. So, but he read it all the way through, and he's like, you know what? Forget becoming an actor. Forget becoming a model. Become an author because, oh, my God, you know how to write. So, and I shrugged it off, telling him, no, I'll never become an author. And then after that, he's like, well, I have this girl that I like. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to write your love letter for you. It ain't going to happen, dude. So needless to say, I didn't really think, you know, the whole writing didn't come to me until I was actually in the military. And before I wanted to do the whole acting thing, I wanted to serve my country. So I joined the military in 2001. In the Navy.
Okay.
And so I served my country, and as I was getting out, I served about 5.5 years, and as I was getting out, I'm like, well, what am I going to do now? You know, acting still was a thing for me in the background, but I'm like, okay, what am I really passionate about? And then, lo and behold, that spark of interest that I had way back when one of my best friend read the letter I wrote to the girl in high school, I actually said, you know what, I'm going to write. So I decided to write, you know, and it took me still a few years to actually get my first book out because I was brand new to the process of doing, you know, publishing and whatnot and figuring it all out. So I had to go through the trials and errors of being a published author because for any of your listeners that want to decide to write a book or are thinking about it or don't know the steps, I can actually leave you guys a quick layout for your listeners on what they would expect or what they would go through because I've already been pretty much through it all. I've been through the mistakes. I've been through the, you know, the letdowns of attempting to figure it out all on my own. So this is kind of how it works. So let me give you a little background on how it kind of works. With a traditional publishing house, what you do is you would send in a submission of your work, maybe like a first chapter or something. So you send in the submission. Well, those submission inquiries that you send in, or else you can possibly send in your whole manuscript. What happens is once they get it, they'll put it in a stack and they'll say, okay, we'll look at this later. Well, it could be up to 5 to 10 years before they even look at it because they have so many submission inquiries coming in. You know, it's hard for them to keep up. You know, and by all means, you could have like the bestseller, you could have the book of all books that's going to change someone's, you know, world and life for the better, right? So
right.
I told myself, I don't want to wait 10 to 15 possible years because it could actually last up to 15 years that they could have your actual manuscript if, for some reason, it doesn't get lost in the whole shuffle of their Rolodex of submission inquiries or if it doesn't get deleted or if it doesn't get thrown away or whatnot, right? And that's a big is. So I wasn't willing to take that big is. So what I personally did, I went with a self-publishing company. And like I said, I was brand new to the game. I didn't know exactly what to do. Didn't know how to do it. So I went with a self-publishing company. I thought that was the correct route for me. And I'm not going to say anything bad about it. I'm going to say that some people, it is that route for them. But for me, after going through two self-publishing companies, that wasn't really the best idea for me to do. Because like I said, I'm a firm believer if you have a thought, if you have an idea, if you have your own self-expression that you're coming up with, it should be yours. You should hold that creative process. And I think that we were kind of talking about that earlier when we were talking. And you brought up Prince. You know, Prince was like a forefather of that concept of having your creative expression be yours, your own specific creative expression. you know.
Right.
And it, you know, so it's for that, I said, okay, well, I'm gonna figure all this out, and I'm gonna figure out how to do it. So that's what I attempted to do, and I actually did it. I actually did it. So now I have people calling me up, you know, and sending me email messages. Hey, can you help me write a book? I want to write a book. Or, and some people are afraid to write a book, so they wanna. Hey, can you be a co-author? I'm like, well, it's your book. I don't want to be a co-author with your book. They go, no, I need you, I'm like, okay, if you want, I'm flattered, that's awesome. By all means, I'll be a co-author with anyone. And so right now I have a few projects that I'm doing right now. As you just mentioned earlier with the introduction of introducing me, I have a project with my older brother, and I actually have an awesome project with my boys. I do have two boys. One is 12 and one is 9. And my oldest son, who's 12, he told me a few years back, he goes, Dad, I want you to write a children's book. And I'm like, because see, my genre is mainly self-help, motivation, self-improvement. That's kind of my genre, and that's kind of what I stick with. And then I told him, I go, tell you what, if you give me the title, we'll write the book. So he gave me the most perfect title, and we actually started writing the book throughout the whole quarantine thing. I thought it was the best time to do it. And we actually have 8 volumes that we're going to write for this children's series. And it's something that's, it's so extremely important to me. And I'm so ecstatic about it, because I can kind of bring them into my world, and I can kind of know where they're coming from, and their thought process. And I can bring out their creativeness within the book forms of the children's book, which is, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that I get to share with my boys. So I'm thrilled that I'm able to do that. And I also have another book, and it's not my book. It's someone that wanted me to write their book with them. So I'm like the co-author of this book with them. So I have so many projects that I'm doing right now.
Right. And with you being a native of Miami, Florida, I'm thinking, Southeastern cuisine recipes and deep South cuisine. That sounds like a master plan of a cookbook together.
Yes. And anything that brings unity with people, that, you know, those are beautiful concepts. Those are beautiful ideas, you know, and like you said, my genre is basically is self-improvement, self-encouragement, self-help. That's kind of my genre. I don't really want to say motivation, because I'm a firm believer of no one can motivate you.
Your brother and your wife sound like destination happiness.
Yes. No worries. I truly believe that there's only one thing that they can do, is what my friend did back for me back in high school when he read the letter. Remember, I told you that story. He gave me a spark of interest. He showed me that spark of interest by having that one little conversation of him saying, become an author. And you never know when that spark of interest is going to hit you. With that being said, this one book that I just completed, and it just came out last week, and it's actually live now, and I'm extremely excited about this, because it's the revised and updated version of the book when I first wrote it back in 2012, when I mentioned earlier about me going with
a self-publishing company and not knowing the industry, not knowing what I was getting myself into, not knowing the ins and outs. So I actually revised it, I updated it, and I'm extremely excited about it because that book, you already did mention it, it's called Don't Chase Your Dreams, Catch Them. So,
I like that, Don't Chase Your Dreams, Catch Them, because we do chase our dreams, but do we really catch them, you know?
Yeah, I feel people are completely on the chase, and they stay on the chase, and I'm like,
what?
So I thought about it one day. I really had this moment of clarity, and I told myself one day, I'm like, why do I want to chase it? I want to catch it. I can stay on that chase.
And when we catch the dream, do you discuss what do we do when we do catch those dreams? Like you guys, you love the chase. But when for example, you love chase us, but when you get us, do you know what to do with us? So do you define when you catch the dream, you guys what to do then? For the American Idol, the winner of Sam last week, the new American Idol, when asked about winning American Idol, she said it completely shocked her. Even though she always prepared and wanted to win, it just caught her completely off guard. So, still an example of chasing a dream. She caught a dream, then it just caught her off guard. She was like, oh, what?
Good thing you mentioned that, because when things like that get you, when incidents like that, per se, catch you off guard, it's because we've been told our whole life.
But you've been chasing it. That's a dream she had been chasing. That's been a dream she'd been chasing. She won American Idol, but then it completely got her. She was like, was not expecting it.
But
right.
Don't you find
she called it unexpectedly.
But Bethany, when you watch shows like that and you see that, doesn't it just does something to you? I mean, for me, first of all, it makes me so proud of that person that they went off, despite the naysay, despite all the negative Nancy's out there sitting there saying, no, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And then when you see that perfect timing, when you get to see that face, and I think that's why American Idol has taken off the way it's taken off, because you get to see people experience it. Their dreams and catching it, and you're like, well, that's amazing. I mean, how many artists have American Idol have come through American Idol despite the odds, despite the backstory that they have, despite the negative things that they've been through, and then you see them victorious towards the end, and even like the second runner ups, they're still victorious too. And technically,
right?
I will say this. I will say this, and my mentor told me this, and it just made so much sense to me. He said, when people sit there and call you a loser, let me tell you something. No one is a loser. We are all winners from the very start, because out of 450 million little guys going towards that egg to try to be the one to be here in life, you made it. You are here. That makes you automatically a winner from the start. So that concept, it, you know, when people say, oh, you're a loser, no, you're not a loser.
Yeah.
Because
you often hear people say, you are a loser, you are a failure, you have failed me. And, you know, that is sad when people say that. Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, when I decided to write this book, Don't Chase Your Dreams, Catch Them, I told myself, I'm like, okay.
Which mentor are you talking about? You talking about Scott Benson? Which mentor?
Yes.
Scott Benson?
Scott Benson, that's
yeah.
right.
Yes.
Yes, that is my mentor. He's an amazing mentor, and I have other mentors too. But yeah,
he's in your book, and I know in front of Understanding and Mending Broken Paths. I don't want to interrupt you, but this it touches me, acknowledgement. In the front of the Understanding and Mend Broken Hearts. But I want to interrupt you. I was complete. You're telling that right now. But as soon as you're ready to talk about Understanding and Mending Broken Paths, please let me know so we can talk about that acknowledgement at the beginning of that book.
Oh, yes. Yes, by all means. You know, like my website that just became live again, and there I had a few technical issues and whatnot. My website is called Alexander Hamilton's Insights .com. But within that website, I strictly, you know, they're not all my insights. You know, like we all have like these unsung heroes that stay in the background, like for instance, for acting. Okay, you got an actor or an actress. They're willing to get in front of the camera. They're willing to get out there and speak and get into all these different characters, correct? So
correct.
When you can see that, right? But you don't see all the
right.
unsung heroes in the background, the grips, the electricians, the producer, the director, the editors, the screenplay writers. You don't see any of them. Yeah, you see them during the credits, but they're like unsung heroes. They don't want to be in the limelight. They just want to do a job. They want to create, and they don't care about the fame, the fortune, the know-how, or the good luck, and all that stuff. They don't care about that. They're unsung heroes, and we all have those unsung heroes that are rooting for us in the background. Like for instance, they're sitting there telling you, like, oh, you're going to do it. You're going to make it. I know you're going to make it. But don't mention my name when I do, when you do make it, because, you know, like, for instance, when we talk about, like, success, for instance, when people sit there and say, oh, well, he was a self-made millionaire, she was a self-made millionaire. There are no self-made millionaires, and there's no because we all get help. We all have those unsung heroes.
That's true. And you know, I talk about that. I talk about self-made millionaires and millionaires and billionaires on my page. And you make a good point. Even yesterday, I had talked about how my mom and my ex-husband, my first husband, all knew that I wanted to be a self-made millionaire. My goal was to be a self-made millionaire before age of 30, but you're right. And that's one thing that I like to say is we and us, and even with the show, it's a we thing, the podcast, the listeners, you, guests, we. You notice I mentioned we. We started the James Franco Project. I mean, we worked together on our project. Visions might come and we create visions, but it all become a lead. It's not I and team. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I think, Kylie, which one's the billionaire? Because I love the Kardashians and Jenners, and is Kylie the one that's the billionaire? And I think someone said people describe themselves as made millionaire, but really it was the we thing that made her become a self-made billionaire. But you're right, everyone can say based on who have been there with them throughout their journey.
Oh, yes. And I think these people, they shape us along our journey, and they shape us to be able to get out there and go catch our dreams. Like, and for me, My brother was the first one I told about that title, right? I told my younger brother about that title, Don't Chase Your Dreams, Catch Them, because what he had done, my brother's a musician, right? And not to really jump off topic, but I lay it out in my book. My brother wrote a song called What Are You Waiting For? And that song, it just took me back. I'm like, whoa, it's exactly right. You know, like what are people waiting for? You know, and then when I told my younger brother about my book idea, I'm like, yeah, I got a book idea called Don't Chase Your Dreams, Catch Them. He like fell in love with it. He's like, write that book. Forget all the other ones. Write that one. Oh my God. You know, like he got all excited about it. I'm like, my God, I just want to wait a little bit. No, don't wait, because people need to hear that. People need to catch their dreams. Forget chasing it. You know, lay that out to help people catch their dreams, you know, because people are constantly on this chase. So when I was laying out the format of the book and the chapter titles and how I was going to format it.
Excuse me, Sean. I just want to acknowledge we do have callers calling in, and we'll take your call in a moment, callers. And I am we are in the chat room also. Those of you that would like to chat, if you not have a profile, create one so you can see the chat room. But those of you that are on hold to ask a question or make a comment, we will take your call in a moment. So let us know when you're ready for callers also. Okay, I just wanted to acknowledge the callers that we do see their calls. Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Okay, so before your callers call in, I will I guess I can lay out a couple questions that maybe might spark their interest, so to speak. So the callers that are listening, I have a question for you. What do you think is the first thing you need to do to be able to catch your dream? Okay, so that's one question that if any of the callers are have a piece of paper and pen, I suggest, you know, go get it real quick before we if you want them to. So they can have like a layout. Granted, yes, it's in my book, but it just helps me to be engaged with your callers, if you don't mind. So the first question was, what do you think is the first thing you need to do in order to catch your dreams? Okay, so that's the first question. So if any of you guys want to, you know, later on, you know, when she opens up the lines, I can kind of go off and give you that concept first, because it's the very first concept I came up with.
You're joking.
You got it.
Who? Hold on. Who? I knew it. You joking. I said it.
Oh, my God. You all wait for us. It's not up to coronavirus within my family, y'all. So I won't go into detail because we're talking with Mr. Sean Alexander Hamilton. So please keep us in your prayers. Okay, the call dropped, but hopefully they'll call back and others will call us also. But that was the first question. What does it take to what, Chase?
What's the first step you need to do in order to catch your dream?
Yes, first step, okay. I'll do my best to answer the questions that caller dropped, and I'm in the chat room also. To focus, and like you said, get a pen and paper and write down what your dreams are.
right? Like, you just yes, it was beautiful. You just kind of nailed it on the button. You said get a pen and piece of paper and kind of write down what your dreams are. So the first thing that we have to do in order to catch a dream, we have to identify with it. Like, identification is the most important thing for us to do, because it's what brings our characters about. It's what gives us our roadmap, so to speak. So that is something that we have to do. We have to identify with our dream. Like, for instance, when we go to college, how many people have gone to college and changed their majors or changed what they were planning on doing because they didn't really know what they wanted to do?
Oh, yes. Right.
So I actually, in my book, it's kind of silly that I kind of did it this way, but I kind of, you remember back in school when you're in school and they have like a career day, like, you know, the mother or father or brother, aunt, uncle, you know, grandma, grandpa, they come in and they would tell you what they did in their job or what type of lifestyle they had or this and that. And it was called career day. So I kind of put a career, kind of like a career day in the book. And it took me a little longer than I expected, but I actually went through A through Z and all the things that I could think of that someone would want and become just to help someone get their spark of interest. You know, so when you're picking out a major, you're like, oh, well, I might like doing that. Or, well, I might like doing that. Same thing when I was in the military. Same thing. When you join the military, first things first, they ask you kind of what you want to do. What kind of job do you want? Do you exactly know, or do you just want to be in the armed forces? Well, there's still divisions in the armed forces of certain jobs that you're embedded into, whether it's special forces, whether it's being a cook, whether it's being a firefighter, whether it's being a corpsman, you know, medical, you know, personnel, communications, whatever, right? So there's still that specific job that you're going to get even when you're in the armed forces. Yeah, you're a part of the military, but you're just that part, you know? So since you're just that part, yeah, you can say, well, my dream was to become, you know, become something in the military or join the armed forces, and whether it's a Marine, Navy personnel, an Army, you know, platoon major, whatever it may be, you still have to figure out what that is. And even in the military, people change their jobs and change their rates and their MOSs to doing something else. You know, so so the first thing we have to do is to really identify what we truly want, because there's always that one dream. And you put it perfect when you said earlier, when you were watching American Idol and then you saw her get that dream that she's always wanted, you know, and she actually became a singer, right? There's always that one dream that will never leave us, no matter what we do in life. Even if we're in another job, we always have that one thing that we still crave, that we still want to become, that we still want to do.
Right.
So that's important. That's important. That's probably one of the most important parts of the whole catching your dream and getting off the chase. You know, because it's all about getting off the chase. You don't want to, because the chase can continue on day in and day out. It's sort of like you were speaking earlier about how men like to chase their women. they'll chase them to the eons. Doesn't matter. So it's sort of the same concept.
We knew they did. I'm still doing my show. You don't have to worry, man. I keep us in your prayer. My little niece was shot. Dying before coronavirus. But she's okay. Yeah, thank you. Keep him. You came in here and talking and told me I'm doing my podcast. Okay, I'm listening to you. Listening.
Hey,
I'm still doing my shit.
Look, she wants to do a podcast, right? That could be one of her dreams. she wants to be that person that's out there, you know, doing podcasts, doing interviews.
We never know. I didn't think we should be in the news while we live on air regarding her diagnosis. Yeah. I'm on the podcast talking to you, and you don't want your business out. But it's already out there, so we just have people to pray.
Yes.
Well, we court her team. Okay. And obviously, she's in good health. Just keep all of us in your prayers that we all in good health. Okay. My apologies, Sean. I know, breaking news. That would happen when you and I are talking. Breaking news happened. Okay.
No, no worries. No worries. I'm totally fine with breaking news. I always have breaking news coming to my space at all times. Like I said, I have.
Right. My sister and me and Todd, we need to quarantine one more week. I'm like, yeah, the city is still under, you know, the executive order. So I'm like, yeah, I know we're opening up, but we still, like, stay in if you can. But she was giving the news about my little niece who you hear in the background. So just keep us in prayer that we all stay in good health. I'm in good health, and just caught me off guard live on air, you know, to have that. And we're in the middle of talking about our dreams and all that. And definitely want to talk about brokenness. So, okay, let's continue.
Okay.
My apologies, though. But she came in, and I guess she just wanted to, I guess she wants you all to know this.
Well,
that it can, so it's serious, people. Those of you that are out there, we have been following the guidelines, and we have been quarantining. And it can happen to anybody, any age. So if you're out there having fun at the beach and at your barbecue, take COVID-19 seriously. Last week, I got the news that one of my classmates had. I hadn't been knowing anybody personally up close, but my little niece, you all know. So I'm going to just let you all know it's serious. It is serious. Oh, yeah, you have little kids, so you know, and you understand. I know. I love the pictures that you share. Okay, now we're back to, because this is interesting. And I'm glad, I know we were going to start with your most recent book. So I'm glad, I know we're promoting the book. I thought we were going to talk about the other two books. So I'm glad that you dived let's not chase the dream, but let's catch the dream. Because right now, I don't think I'm alone. Many of us are prioritizing and looking at what's important right now. Not that we hadn't been, but since COVID-19 and coronavirus is now part of all of our lives because we're living a new normal. I think we all are assessing our dreams and what's important and who's important in our lives.
Oh yes, that's something I have noticed that, you know, because of this situation that we're all going through, like everyone's dealing with. We all have really taken a step back and really see what's really important, like family, for instance. Like, you know, just having dinner together, you know, we take for granted, right? You know, because we're at a fast-paced life. Everyone's got to be somewhere. And no, I'm just going to grab this and I'm out the door.
My late mom was here right now because Tina was talking to her. And I'm like, my late mom's alive. We're having like a really cool barbecue gathering, like you probably are accustomed to in your family, doing gatherings.
Yeah.
But things just have changed now. Some people still believe in it. Some people like, okay, just another day. So you're right. Where you know, what's important? Sunday dinners are important to me. You know, not important to everybody. Some people are like,
to themselves, you know, or whatever. But what's important to people? People are beginning to realize, okay, I need to start doing what's important, or start back doing what's important, and start focused on my dreams. So your book has been released at a perfect time, where usually people think things like at the beginning of the year, it's in the middle of the year. Many of us are assessing and reassessing our dreams and our goals.
Oh yeah, for certain. You know, I mean, we all, like, especially like in the middle of years. It's like in the beginning of the year, what happens? Most of us have this New Year's resolution. I'm either gonna lose weight, I'm either gonna get a new job, I'm either gonna get a new vehicle, new house, new this, a new attitude on life, right?
You sound like you. That's me. You sound me. I need to do everything, please.
So I like you said, we most of us go through that. I've totally taken a drawback from that now in nowadays, because I realize, like you said, we're in the middle of the year, right?
Right.
How many of us have actually attempted to keep our New Year's resolution? Or attempted to keep some goal that we're after, right? So when we think of goals, when we think of catching something or attempting to get our dreams, the good thing about this book that I'm talking about right now, it kind of leads also into my other book too, because it also deals with us being able to do what? To get over our brokenness or our broken mentality thought patterns that we have. And I know that's probably the book you wanted to discuss, which we can leave right
now. I want to discuss the new book, because dreams, you know, I'm a dreamer, and dreams are important. So just like your other two books in your book about dreams, you also have pages that we can note things, and because that's one thing I like about your books too. And my little niece, as I looked through and read your book, she noticed that too. And I told her that it was like a guide. You take notes and you learn things from your book.
Oh yes, go ahead.
So one thing, when you talk about understanding many broken patterns in your brokenness, it really sounds like your books go in a sequence, because you got to understand and mend your brokenness, but then at the same time, you do need to live your dream. But it's kind of difficult to live your dreams if you're all broken. So first, when it comes to your book, defeat your financial anger.
Yes.
Mend your broken paths and focus on your dreams. You still can attain your dreams.
Oh, yes.
Your books are concept. They're conceptual, and then they're conceptual that involve one another.
Yeah, I usually attempt to, when I'm thinking about things to write and things that are personally affecting me on a personal level, because I want to say I write for people, but I'd be lying if I told my audience or I told anyone that I'm not writing for me. Essentially, I'm writing this stuff for guys to better my circumstances or better my life. And as I'm doing that, I want to be able to share my wisdom, my knowledge with other people, because I don't know what other people are going through in their life. I don't know if they're going through financial anger, brokenness, or having them finding it difficult to go off and catch a dream or a roadmap or a guide, so to speak. So That's kind of how I write when I think of the subjects to write. I think about what's affecting me and what would be important for other people, because I want to write for other people just as well as I'm writing for me at the same time. So, like, for instance, Understanding Many Broken Paths. This one particular book, and I'm assuming I'll be on your podcast again, and we'll get in more depth with it, but I'll give you a little background about this one particular book of Understanding Many Broken Paths.
You return Sunday. You can return next Sunday if you would like, or let me when you would like to return.
Oh, yeah, I'll return whenever you want me on. Totally fine.
Next Sunday would be good so we can stay consistent. So part two would be next Sunday.
Okay, so yeah, we can definitely do that. Now, if you want to give me a little, if you want me to continue on with the subject of catching your dreams, I can do that, and then we can lead off.
Okay, let's do that. Because I think we both feel that you shouldn't. That if you're still telling us and teaching us. And also, we need to go to Amazon and purchase the book also, everyone. And if you listen to Facebook Live, don't you get to do, like, giveaways, or you send out, like, autographed copies
I'll do personalized autographed copies. And the reason why I like doing those is because I can get more – it's more personalized for me as an author, to where I can send someone a personal message or maybe something that's not even in the book that I could put down just for them. Like, it's got their name on it. It's stamped. It's just theirs, and it's personalized. And they can be like, well, wow, he didn't put that in the book. He just gave that to me. Wow. That shows that this author really cares about his readers and cares about the people that he's attempting to speak his wisdom through his writing. So for me, yes, I love giving like autographed copies, because I'll ask all my for my individuals that want an autographed copy, I'll ask them, hey, do you want me to leave you a personal note? And usually, I get the answer, just give me anything or surprise me. So that helps me out when they say surprise me, because then it makes me think, what personal message could I give them just for them, without just saying, oh, autographs from Sean Alexander Hamilton, here you go. No, I can literally write down a personal message to them, and that's, for me, that's something I want to be able to do for all my readers, and whoever is attempting to change their life in a different direction, that's something that's I feel that it's something that I enjoy doing. So that's what I like. That's why when I went on Facebook Live and also my YouTube channel that I just recently started, I tell people, if you want an autographed copy, by all means, let me know, because it's more personalized for me, and then I can kind of connect with people on a different level. Just like with you, with your podcast, you have listeners and they can call in, right? So the fact that they can call in.
Caller that called in, please call back, because we really want to hear your feedback. And, yeah, okay.
And see, that's the thing. We all look for like feedback, and we all look for things to be able to improve our services. Like for instance, your podcast. You want to hear someone's feedback. How can we improve my content for you guys, the people that are listening? You know, so that's very important to me, and that's what I'm able to kind of do with my books. I'll send a personal message, and then or I'll autograph a personal message to them, and then when I send them out, they'll message me back, yeah, I just got your book. Oh yeah, I just got the message. Oh, either snap me a picture. Look what just came in, or you know, and to me, that's more that's more gratifying than anything else, than me writing a book. That's more gratifying for me because then
right.
I know I'm making an impact on someone else's life. And, you know, I'm assuming it's the same thing for you with your chat line that you have and also the callers that can call in. And that's why we have these open lines of communication that make our presentation better, make our stories better, and make the content that we bring to other people willing to share it and come back. So for me, yeah, that's very important. So as I was saying, let me continue on a little bit about don't chase your dreams, catch them. So in another one of my chapters, I talk about this concept of a runaway thought. And a runaway thought is, have you ever had like a brilliant idea? Like, you know, like that light bulb that just goes off. And then you don't do what? You don't write it down. And then.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, that is crazy.
And you're like, oh my God. You know, I had this idea and now it's gone.
Right.
And it could have been the idea of all ideas, right? Mm-hmm. It could have been that one that catapults you into the next level or changes
exactly.
your concept.
That invention that will take me to Shark Tank. Right. But
yeah,
do not
exactly.
write it down.
So what I listed in that book, what I did, I call that moment a surge of brilliance, right? That light bulb trigger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a runaway
right.
thought, I have in that chapter title, or not the chapter title itself, but in that runaway thought, I came up with this thing called stroke of genius. So, and it's not that I physically came up with it. You know, I just heard mentors and teachers and people, hey, if you got a good idea, write it down. You know, so I dubbed it as a stroke of genius because what do they say? Good listeners do what? They take notes, right?
Yeah.
So if
yeah.
you're listening to that surge of brilliance that's within you, that light bulb that goes off in your head, you're not a good listener of your own thought process, of your own dream, you know, and that's detrimental to your dream because that once that runaway thought is gone, it could be gone for a long, long time. Because I've had thoughts that I didn't follow my concept, and I didn't write it down. And then years later, it just popped up again. Oh, there it is. You know, and then I wrote it down because then I knew the concept of that runaway thought process. And I don't want to ever have a runaway thought. I always have either a pen and a piece of paper with me, or now since we have the, you know, phones that we can take notes on, I always make sure I write it down before I lose it. Because in the hustle and bustle of life, we have all these things going on. We have, you know, family issues that we're dealing with. We have financial issues that we're dealing with. We have, oh, well, I got to get here. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to take the kids. I got to go grocery shopping. You can easily lose a brilliant thought or a surge of brilliance within a matter of seconds. And it'd be gone forever. You know, so in order to combat that, I call it the stroke of genius method. You write it down because your surge
of
brilliance.
Genius.
Stroke of genius.
So the runaway thought, and there's the stroke of genius.
Yes, yeah, so it's no longer a runaway thought. Yeah, so.
Right.
Yeah. So I outlined that in that one particular chapter, and then from there I go off and I sit there and I talk about another thing that we go through, and I call it the hide and seek method. Remember when you were a kid and we played hide and seek. Now,
oh, one of my favorite childhood games.
Yes. Now, who out there didn't like being the counter? Most of us didn't really like counting. We wanted to go hide.
Yeah.
But when you think about chasing your dreams, what do? They say people follow their dreams. So if you're chasing your dreams, you're what? You are a seeker. You're seeking
mm-hmm.
your dreams. Because what are your dreams doing?
Mm-hmm.
They are hiding from you. And some of these dreams
mm-hmm.
can be hiding in plain sight. So
right.
I started thinking about the whole concept of hide and seek. How do we combat that portion of it? You know, because there's a lot of intricate things to catching a dream. That's why people think it's so difficult to catch your dream that you constantly stay on the chase. So from that moment, in my next chapter, I talk about it's called the treadmill effect. Now, do you know what that effect is?
The treadmill effect. So when you're on a treadmill, you're walking in place.
Yes. Are you going anywhere?
You're not going anywhere, but you're definitely burning the calories. But you're not going anywhere.
See, exactly. So the treadmill effect is us getting off the treadmill and going off and experiencing life. Like, when's the last time you actually, you know, and I'm not saying now it's more prominent than ever because of the COVID-19 situation that everyone's going through and the lockdown. Now you see people on the street, they're running more, they're out there, right?
You do see more people exercising. Either you see people exercise or you see people picking up extra pounds. So you're right, but you see more people really exercising and trying to build up their immune system.
Yeah, so when you think about people going to the gym and jumping on a treadmill, well, you're not experiencing life. You're not experiencing the breeze, the sun, the smell, the beauty that's around you because you're indoors and you're on a treadmill.
Right.
So what I've told people in that one chapter is for them to jump off that treadmill and
right.
experience the notion of catching that dream. Getting off the chase, because like I said, you're running in place on a treadmill. You're chasing what? Are you,
right.
Do you want to continue chasing something, or do you want to go get it?
Right. Like Terry likes the bike. And I'm like, well, that's better than being in the stationary bike at gym, the Planet Fitness, or wherever. When you're out, like you, I like to walk and you know, need to resume jogging and running. And I do like to bike. I was a kid. But I notice when I'm at a gym, I very seldom get on a stationary. I don't get on a treadmill. But you're right, it's not the same. You burn the calories, but when it comes to your mental, to your mind, it's not the same as actually running or walking or jogging or biking out in the world, out in nature.
Yeah. So that's the same. It's the same concept with your dream. Like
right.
Like I'll tell you a quote that I put in my book, and it's a very strong, prominent quote by Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee said,
mm-hmm.
"Opportunity doesn't come to you. You go out and get opportunity." And if you notice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the American dream real quick. Okay, let's.
Oh,
let's,
yes.
We're still staying on the same subject of catching a dream, but
yeah,
I'm going to shift thought process real quick for 1 second.
One of my favorite topics, the American dream.
Everyone talks about the American dream, correct?
Correct.
So when people are talking about the American dream, now, I don't know what dream anyone has out there. But if you notice, the most people that when they think about success, and when they think about the American dream, they think about the nice house, nice car, enough money in the bank to do whatever they want, to go travel, go do this, to go do that. But I've noticed that the most American people that have that American dream, are people from foreign countries that took off on a plane or on a boat, however they got here, and then they came over and they didn't know the land, they didn't know the language, they didn't know the people, but they still captured that American dream. So they took off, got the opportunity, because they knew they had to go get the opportunity and not let the opportunity come to them. It's sort of like the woman from American Idol, or the people that go on American Idol. They go out and go on American Idol to go capture that dream.
Because the dream was not going to just come knock on your door and say, hey, you're American Idol. She had to go out there. And then through a pandemic, too. And wow, yeah. And then this was the first year, too. I don't have pandemic, but this was the first year, too. They released the winner's music overnight, the same night. We announced she won before day, the following morning, her music out. So I'm like, yeah, you got my literally overnight success story. Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how... it's amazing that we actually get to see that, like on American Idol or The Voice or different shows like this or America's Got Talent. We actually get to see
Shark
that.
Shark Tank, like I mentioned, for Shark Tank, like in tours like you and I, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So. Those instances, those things that we get to see, like you said, Shark Tank 2, the same thing. You know, they go on there and they pitch their stuff, and it might not be that good, but like you said, they're still out there going to get it, you know, and they're still willing. And I think that should, like,
right.
I think that should be, like, one of the major sparks of interest for people. Like, wow, they got it. Man, I can do it, too.
Some contestants on Shark Tank, they might have been ejected all the sharks. But they said just by being on Shark Tank gave their product and their inventions pool. You know, gave them recognition where they either improved in their sales or were able to make a deal somewhere else just because they appeared on Shark Tank, even if all the sharks turned down. Just getting that exposure on that show kept their business.
Oh yeah, like for instance, I'll tell you. I don't know if you've seen this episode, but through this quarantine that we've been going through, I have been watching a lot of Shark Tank. So there is this one episode, and like I said, if you've seen it, great. If you haven't, you know, for your listeners that are listening, go research.
Okay, listeners, no calls in a minute. No more calls. Everyone, next Sunday, he's coming back. Call in next Sunday. The chat room is still open, and then the show will go on for another 15 to 20 minutes. Okay, I just wanted to make that announcement because someone would decide last minute to call in, and the live stream is going to end with live calls. The call-ins cannot get through.
Oh.
But next Sunday... 646-787-1578. Those of you that do not have your books, you should have your books. So you can go to Amazon Prime, Amazon, and make your purchase. And we have the book club going on. So those are your reading assignments. His book, Understanding Myth and Mending Broken Paths, Defeating Financial Anger, and Don't Chase Your Dreams, But What? Catch them, right? Okay. So definitely call him next. We can follow him, befriend him on Facebook, Sean Alexander Hamilton. And your YouTube channel, is it Sean Alexander Hamilton also?
Yes, it's Alexander Hamilton's Insights, but I might change it, you know. I will send you a direct link to it once it's done, and then you can be able to tell your listeners. And if not, like I said, I'm working on that part right now. So.
Yeah, Sean is very consistent with his Facebook Live. So if you're not a friend of his, definitely become a friend of his and follow him so you can check out his Facebook Lives and his Insta stories on Instagram. On Instagram, you are Sean Alexander Hamilton, right?
Yes, that I am.
Yes.
Now the thing I have to say about Facebook Live, I'm up to almost 4,900 people, so I'm a little shy of reaching that 5,000 mark. And you already, whoever knows about Facebook, you can only have a 5,000 limit.
I'm surprised Facebook haven't asked you to create a public figure page yet. They probably would recommend you for public author public figure page.
I'll have to look into that, see how that's gonna work. So back to what I was saying real quick. I don't know if you've seen this episode. There was a guy on Shark Tank and he actually came on the show. He had potatoes, and he would write messages on potatoes. Now, did you see that show?
Listening. Huh?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Did you see that one episode when the guy came on and he would have potatoes and write messages on the potatoes? That was his business.
Okay.
Axe potatoes. Well, guess what? One of the sharks actually took him up on it. Surprisingly.
Ryan.
I never would have thought in a million years that any of the sharks would have actually said, okay, yeah. But yeah, one of the sharks actually gave him a deal, and now the guy's like making $1 million. His revenue is like $2.4 million for writing a little message on a piece of paper and taping it to a potato. Crazy.
Hold on, what is that? Okay. You can continue to talk. My little niece is asking me something real important. Something about the corona. I mean, seriously, she has coronavirus. No joke. So she was asking me something.
So like I said, we don't know what anyone's dreams are. Like the guy that one on Shark Tank with the potatoes and would write messages on the potatoes. He actually made a business out of it. And it actually became profitable. I don't understand how it did, but it did. You know, so like I said, we don't know what dream someone has to catch or
what amazes me, the inventor of the ring, you know, the doorbell. I'm gonna have to take the potato guy out, because it seems like I vaguely kind of remember who you're talking about. What amazes me too, when it comes to Shark Tank, the creator of the ring doorbell, rejected by all the Shark Tank, all the sharks, and now he's a shark.
Oh yeah.
You know. Yeah, he was rejected by all sharks when he showed up with his invention of the doorbell with the surveillance camera. Rejected him all. Then he reinvented it. He improved it and changed the name. He changed the name of it because it wasn't Ring when he went to the show, I don't think. But then now he's a shark. So that is like, whoa. He was rejected and now he's a shark too. They were if you don't get out of here, if you don't get out of here with that invention, you must be crazy. Then, oh my God. And just a few years later, he became a shark.
and it shocks me. Like, for instance, real quick before, because I know we're having time's cutting short a little bit. But for instance, in my book, like I actually put something in my book that it absolutely had to be in here, and it's about the calling, right? And I dubbed it the calling. It's about what we do when we speak about our dreams. Like we speak about it, and I have to say, Martin Luther King, I love his speech. His speech is the most, I mean, I think it's like one of the most powerful speeches on the planet. And I'm talking about the speech of I Have a Dream speech that he did back in the early, when he delivered it in August of 1963 on the 28th at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., I Have a Dream speech. That right there, I had to have that in my book because that speech, he's speaking like to everyone and sitting there saying, I have a dream and my dream is this. So he's getting it out to the world. When people say, oh, if you want to speak life into something, then speak it. Say it. It's not enough to sit there and believe in it, you know, because I dub it as this. You believe it, you feel it, to become it, right? So if,
right.
But if you speak it, it gives more more notion to get it out there. And like I said, with the stroke of genius, when you're writing it down, you're bringing it to life. And when you're speaking it, you're giving it a voice. So not only are you writing something down and bringing it to life, but when you're speaking it, you're giving it a voice. You're giving it that forward projection that you're telling the world that I'm coming out of this dream and I'm going to catch it. So for that right there was like, for instance, let me bring up James Dean for a second. James Dean.
Oh, yes. Yes.
James Dean, his great quote that I actually put in my book, called, he said, dream as you'll live forever, live as you'll die tomorrow. That's so impactful. Like, be in that moment and fully understand that, hey, I'm going to go catch his dream, and I'm going to do it now. I'm not going to wait. Like I said, it's about that concept of starting from where you're at now, not from where you want to be.
Well, family members are shocked that we have coronavirus in the household. So some people are coming to me to say, I can't believe, you know, people so far are getting kind of surprised. Okay, so, you know, that was the noise. That's what you in the background. So I'm listening to you. So you all heard this is an experience happening. It's a real life experience happening during this podcast. So thank you all, listeners. Okay, listen, you heard a little background. So.
Wow.
A family member was just coming to the door, expressing the minute in shock. Okay. I just wanted to let you know I was letting you know I'm focused on you, but someone was surprised.
Before I continue, let's focus on that for a minute. That's real life stuff right there, right? And I'm not saying
we're happening a live podcast because you usually we're real private, but I'm on the air and the news been breaking while I've been on air with you.
So for all her listeners, for everyone that's listening to her podcast right now, I just want to say if we could take a moment and send out a prayer to her and her family, because she's living this, she's going through it right now. Obviously, what was just aired a few seconds ago when she said why the interruptions were happening. Let's just take a moment and send our love to her, the host, and love to her family. Because, like you said,
and we're talking about my little great niece who is 7 years old. Yeah, and she's been practicing. We all have been practicing the guidelines and the rules. You all even know a couple weeks ago I self-isolated it on tail myself.
Oh, wow.
So serious. Well, hopefully we're all are asymptomatic. Hopefully no one else has or hurt. But hopefully we all are, you know, what is it? Immune or asymptomatic, is it called?
Asymptomatic. You guys can be immune to it. And like you said, I'm hoping she... Not that I'm a doctor or anything, but if I can just address my experience that I had, just for a quick moment, and if it could do her any help, then by all means.
Right, because we're very problematic, and you all very seldom hear me talk about my mom. And we're very open, but you other family members, you all know that I don't talk about what's actually going on. It was happening right now live. That's in the focus of the broadcast. I'm so glad that you came on today because we focus on, we do have a future. We do have a new normal. And your books are helping us realize that we do have a new normal and can keep smiles on our faces as we do this pandemic.
Yes, I do agree with that. But my experience is this. I didn't get tested, but I don't ever get sick. So my symptoms that I had were chronic cough, and I couldn't breathe at night. And like I said, I never, ever get sick. So it was like that for 2 weeks because I was trying to rush out the storm or beat out the storm, so to speak, before I even got tested.
Right.
So I did my own research. So I researched online and did this and did that. You know, I'm a prominent reader because I'm an author and I have a lot of different books. So what I did, I took a couple steam showers, you know, a couple nights in a row. And I know for a fact that extremely helped me because the first time I took a steam shower, I took a steam shower for about 20 minutes. Afterwards, I didn't cough. I could breathe for like 7 hours straight. Like nothing was wrong with me. I was like, wow, oh my God, I can breathe. You know, I'm not coughing. So I did it for the next 3 days.
Right.
Well, after that, I finally went to go get checked. You know, because family was worried about me and they said, you need to go get checked. So I went to go get checked, and when I went to the hospital, they told me, they're like, "Oh, well, you seem healthy. They're not gonna do anything for you. They're not gonna check you out." I'm like, "What?" So my neighbors across the street, he got checked. One of my neighbors, and he had the same symptoms I had, and he was positive for the virus.
Okay,
and
what was his diagnosis?
He's fine now. He was diagnosed with the coronavirus. But I mean, he's fine now. But I asked him. I called him up. I said,